overlooking downtown Phoenix. From the Faith Talk Studios in the Camelback Towers, it's the Dustin Daniels Show, where God, sex, and current events are explored from a Christian perspective. Here's your host, Dustin Daniels.
1-855-5-DUSTIN. That's 1-855-538-7846. That is the phone number to call if you have a question for me. You can drop me an email at DustinDanielsRadio.com, along with follow me on Twitter at PurityPastor. And since you're going to be on the website dropping me an email, you can check out the new webinar series coming up starting April 6th. Every Wednesday starting April 6th, a new webinar series that's called The Porn Cycle, Understanding Your Temptation. It's going to be an hour long, 30 minutes of me teaching and 30 minutes of you asking your questions about pornography, love, and sex, and what all of this means from a biblical perspective. And I'm looking forward to that starting April 6th. Also want to say hello to all of our new OnePlace.com listeners. Thank you so much for listening. Well, happy Easter. It is Easter Sunday. It is Resurrection Sunday. And, you know, there seems to be a lot of confusion regarding what Easter Sunday is all about. And for most people, Easter Sunday is about this Easter bunny. It's about Easter eggs and Easter egg hunts. And I'm not sure how many signs I've seen next to churches over this past week inviting me to their Easter egg hunts. So the question is, how did all this bunny business get in the way of the most important day in the history of the world? Because really, there's absolutely no connection between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and these modern traditions related to Easter Sunday that we're seeing at the local church. So let me see if I can explain what happened. In order to make Christianity more attractive to non-Christians, the ancient Roman Catholic Church mixed the celebration of Jesus' resurrection with other celebrations. And these other celebrations involved spring fertility rituals. So, shocker, it's about sex. And these spring fertility rituals are the source of all the eggs and all the bunny traditions. Because the name Easter comes from a pagan figure called Ustro. Ustro, Easter. And Ustro was celebrated as the goddess of spring by the Saxons of Northern Europe. So a festival called Ustro was held during the spring equinox. And this goddess, this Ustro's earthly symbol, you know what it was? It's a rabbit. And she's known as the symbol of fertility. So this means that there were pagan meaning evil practices that went along with this celebration. So just like the Apostle Paul was witness to thousands and thousands of temple prostitutes at Corinth, I would imagine something very similar was happening in Northern Europe at this time as well. So as Christians, Easter is supposed to be the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ 3 days after his crucifixion. And if your church is having an Easter egg hunt, you may want to mention to your pastor that they're mixing in an evil ancient fertility god into the greatest day in the history of all mankind, and that is Resurrection Sunday. And it's the day that Jesus Christ conquered sin and death on our behalf. And of course, we're going to talk about this today. And this is why the Purity Ministry of Seven Places is actually called Seven Places. when you look at the seven places that Jesus Christ bled from to atone for our sin, he has cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. The book of Hebrews tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And when the Lord told me to start this ministry, this purity ministry, I didn't know what to call it at first. I didn't know what to title it. And in prayer, I remember hearing this band called Seven Places. And on one of the albums, this pastor, his name was John Corson, he gave a two-minute sermon on the seven places that Jesus Christ bled from, and the band itself put music underneath it. And when I heard this mini sermon, man, it resonated with me. Because the first place that Jesus bled from was his head. When the Roman soldiers put a crown of thorns on his head and they took the back of their spears and they beat Jesus and they beat that crown of thorns into his skull, and obviously blood flowed from his head. And just think about your thought life. Think about all the things that you can't face up to and all the things that you don't want to do. See, we're forgiven. The seven places is a great word picture of total forgiveness and perfection in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. The second place that Jesus bled from was his back. After the Roman soldiers mocked him, humiliated him, and they pulled on his beard, and they basically tied him to a pole or some type of tree stump. And they beat his back so brutally with a whip, some type of leather whip that had nails and glass in it. It's called a flagellum. And the book of Hebrews also tells us that Jesus Christ was beaten so badly that he was unrecognizable as a human being. And Jesus bled from his back. And think about all the times that we've turned our back on God and we've turned around and we've done our own thing. Well, Jesus bled from his back and you're forgiven. The third and fourth places that Jesus bled from was his hands. As a sexual sinner, I have sinned with my hands. And yet they took Jesus' hands and they pinned his hands to the tree, and blood flowed from his hands. The fifth and sixth places that Jesus Christ bled from on the way to Calvary was his feet. And they took one more nail and they pinned his feet to the tree. And think about all the times that we've walked into places that we should have never walked into. Places that we've run into. We've run away from our Lord and Savior, and we've run into the arms of the adulteress. Well, he bled from his feet as well, and you're forgiven. And the last place that Jesus bled from was his side. When he released his spirit, he said that it is finished, and he willingly died for you and I so we could have a relationship with him. And then the Roman soldier took his spear, pierced his side, and out flows blood and water, fulfilling prophecy, ushering in this new covenant of grace. And this is just a picture of us holding inside the anger and the frustration about life, control issues that we don't want to give up, and yet Jesus Christ bled from his side as well. See, it's a beautiful word picture of this resurrection Sunday, of what Jesus Christ has done for you and for me, that we're forgiven. And if forgiveness wasn't enough, friends, it gets better. It gets better. We're going to look at scripture after the break, and we're going to see exactly what happens. We're not going to look at the Easter bunny. No, we're not looking at Easter. We're looking at Jesus and the resurrected Christ on Resurrection Sunday. You're listening to the Dustin Daniels Show.
Do you want to know more about the Bible? If you teach a Bible study and want to be more effective, or you just want to learn for your own personal discipleship, then the Certificate of Bible Teaching Program may be for you. Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary, one of the 10 largest seminaries in the world, offers classes in North Phoenix designed to give students greater insight into the content and message of the Bible. Students also learn ways of presenting the Bible more effectively in Bible studies, Sunday school, home groups, or personal discipleship. In North Phoenix, classes meet at I-17 and Cactus Road. Other certificate, diploma, and degree programs are available in North Phoenix and in Scottsdale at the seminary's Arizona campus, located on Hayden Road. Call today for more information, 480-941-1993. That's area code 480-941-1993. Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary, shaping leaders who expand God's kingdom around the world.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Kimmel, and you're listening to the Dustin Daniels Show.
And this is a radio outreach ministry of the Purity Ministry of Seven Places, and we're on the air because of your financial support. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If this radio ministry has helped you, please help us. $1 a day, it's called a Purity Partner. And you can jump on the website at DustinDanielsRadio.com. You can also text 7 places to 77977 to get signed up. Well, happy Resurrection Sunday. We are talking today about this concept of where Easter comes into play with the most important day in the history of mankind. And Easter coming from this ancient tradition with the fertility god of Ustro, and how Easter has gotten mixed in to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And let's look at what the biblical text says. What happened this day? Because this is absolutely amazing. I'm simply going to read out of Matthew 28. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and he rolled aside the stone, and he sat on it. I love that. He's just chilling. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards, they shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. And then the angel of the Lord spoke to the woman, and he said, hey, don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he's not here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said it would happen. Come and see where the body was lying. He's not there. So go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and you're going to see him there. And remember what I tell you. So the women ran quickly from the tomb, and they were frightened, but they were also filled with great joy. Can you imagine? And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met with them. He greeted them. And they ran to him, and they grasped his feet, and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said, hey, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they're going to see me there. So as the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city, and they told the leading priest what happened. And a meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. Think about that. The church giving people a bribe. And the church told the soldiers, you must say that Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping and they stole his body. And if the governor hears about it, don't worry, we're going to stand up for you so you're not going to get in trouble. So the guards accepted the bribe and they said what they were told to say. And this story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. And then the 11 disciples, they left for Galilee. They were going to the mountain where Jesus had told them, and when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth, and therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you. And you can be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See, Resurrection Sunday is this, it is the greatest day in the history of mankind. Think about this. Jesus Christ came and made a way for us to have a relationship with him and his Father. And if that wasn't good enough, if you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, you also now have the power of Almighty God living inside of you. And that's called the Holy Spirit, so that you can tell people your story and make disciples. But the thing is, that's not the end of the story. It just doesn't stop there, because we have another historic event coming soon. We don't know when it's going to happen, but it's coming soon. And we know it's going to happen because Jesus told us. And when you look at the life of Jesus, from his miraculous birth to the amazing miracles, healing people, raising people from the dead, and raising himself from the dead, just like he said he was going to do, he said he's coming back. And Jesus told the Apostle John in Revelation 22:7, he says, look, I'm coming soon, and blessed are those who obey the words of prophecy written in this book. And that, so the question is why? Why is Jesus coming back? Is he not on the throne, ruling and reigning, right next to the Father? Yes, of course he is. Revelation 19:6 says this, and then I heard again what sounded like the shouts of a vast crowd, or maybe it was the roar of a mighty ocean, or maybe it was the crash of a loud thunder. I'm not really sure what it was, but this is what they said. They said, praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, he reigns. And let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. And she has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. For the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this down. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words that come from God. See, we have a big question about what marriage is in our culture today. And when we look at what God says marriage is, that is what marriage is. He defined it in Genesis 2 for us. One biological man and one biological woman in a covenant before God, before people. So what does the future hold? The future holds in Revelation 21. The Apostle John writes this. He says, then I saw a new heaven and I saw a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth, they disappeared. And the sea was gone, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And then I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. Unbelievable. God's home is now among his people. The psalmist writes, I thirst for God, the living God. When can I stand before you? Jesus is going to live with us, and we're going to be his people, and God himself will be with him. He's going to wipe away every single tear from our eyes, and there's not going to be any more death. There's not going to be any more sorrow. There's not going to be any more crying. And there's not going to be any more pain. And all of these things are gone forever. It's amazing how we can get our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and focus in on our sorrow and our crying and our pain and our problems. And realizing, like, this is a temporary assignment. Understanding that Jesus Christ is the groom, that we as the church are his bride, and he is coming back to receive his bride. The Apostle John continues, "And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I'm making everything new.'" Jesus is making everything new in your life. He said, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy, and this is true." Jesus says, "You can bank on it." And he said, "It's finished." And we need to hear these words on this Resurrection Sunday. He says, "I am the Alpha. I'm the Omega. I'm the beginning and I'm the end." Jesus says, "To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. And all who are victorious will inherit all of these things. And I will be their God, and they will be my children." That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That he indeed died, rose again. He bled from seven places. That your sin is atoned for. That means it's cast as far as the east is from the west. It means that he no longer holds it against you. He's given you a new heart. He's given you a new identity. And he's given you a new name. You just don't know the name yet. And what are we supposed to do with this unbelievable gift of salvation? This unbelievable gift of God with us through the power of the Holy Spirit? We're supposed to make disciples, moms, and dads. That means discipling your children first and foremost. Showing them the beauty and the glory and the majesty of your story. That you were once blind, but now you can see. That Jesus has changed you. He's changed you. And the Lord God wants you to, he wants you to share that story with your neighbors. He wants you to share that story with fellow workers. Because the book of Revelation also finishes for those who don't believe. And Jesus says, "But cowards and unbelievers and corrupt murderers and the sexual immoral, those who practice these things, their fate is the fiery lake of burning sulfur." This is the second death. This is Resurrection Sunday. You've been listening to the Dustin Daniel Show.
The Dustin Daniels Radio Show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering counseling advice for your personal situation. If you need further help, we encourage you to seek the services of a Christ-based counseling professional. For more information on the radio show, visit DustinDanielsRadio.com.